Awesome. We're recording. Thanks everyone for coming. The agenda for this is in the dev email. The first thing for everybody to know is one that I transpose numbers. So if you look at the agenda, it'll say that there's a conversation about the 3.0.1 release, which is definitely not true. It's the 0.3.1 release. There was an issue, which is linked to from that, issue 1212, which came from a commit back at the end of August no unwind that came from Benoit, which turns out to have some really nasty side effects. I reverted that and kicked off a release today because not good results come from that. And the Debian packages are out now. RPM packages are out. Windows packages are out. Stefan did the Gentoo packages. And I'm waiting to hear back from the homebrew people on exactly what it is you're supposed to do in order to do a release with them.
Cool.
I found everyone knows
that this is my fault, not Benoit's fault. I should have caught that in the PR. So it's my fault.
Yeah, things happen.
Yes.
Anyway, it's a fun one. If you go look at issue 1212, you'll look and be like, really? Wow, I didn't know computers could do that thing. It's a good one. All right. And then we still have our regularly scheduled release for the beginning of October, which I'm writing up directions on how to do a release so that anybody else could do that because I will be away that week. I will not be doing the release, but it's relatively painless. So our first PR for today is a quick discussion of 1082. This is not actually ready to be merged. So Sylvan, this is really a conversation between you and I. Real quick on this. All right. So I do have to add a test that Joe asked for and a changelog entry for this. This was part of the stuff where you said you wanted to fix the SSL stuff as well. So it is on a branch that's there. But I wanted to remind you it was there and see, do you want to do the SSL stuff as part of this or should I just finish this off, merge it, and then you can do the SSL stuff later? I'm not sure what the right approach on that is.
Indeed. Let me have a quick look, because it's the SSL notifier.
Yeah. I feel like waiting for you to respond would be more interesting if Big Audio Dynamite was still on in the background.
You're probably right.
But then we get a takedown notice, so yeah, not so much.
That would not be good. The client uses I'm just making sure that I don't mess up how this goes. So it's the SSL connection that wraps the notifier. Because it is a TCP connection notify. So let me give you the rundown on what this is. As probably it would be best for you to try and make these changes rather than me commit to something and leave it undone, because they're not hard.
Can you write them down in the little box and hit submit?
I will write them down in the little box.
Sweet. Okay. Do you want to do that now or shall we move on and you can write them down?
Let's keep going. Yeah.
Okay. Next is from Marcus. It's 1192. He says he believes it's ready if you sign up from the PR and CI is running right now.
Yeah, but I just found another bug. So, but really appreciate it anyway. Just want to know if I'm on the right track.
Okay, excellent. Let me have a quick. Stop that. GitHub.
Terrible, isn't it?
No, go ahead. Click learn more. Oh, damn.
I did.
They fixed the learn more link. No, earlier it was broken.
Oh, but now it won't go away. And I just, there's the X. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that everyone knew exactly what I was talking about. Okay. Funnily enough, the changelog in there removes some changelog entries from a previous version, so that's probably not great. Oh, because it's moving where they were?
Yes, it's moving where they were. There was a release.
Ah.
And if so, one of the things in the release doc is you have to go through and tell everybody who has a PR open for the changelog.
Yeah.
Who's a changelog to merge it in. Otherwise, their stuff ends up looking like it was in the previous release, and it wasn't.
Indeed. Which stuff in specific do you want me to look at, Marcus? I'm not quite sure.
It's not a big thing. Just like... The way I create the errors we want to surface as types.
Uh-huh.
So I did that a lot, like the way we did it in the process monitor package. And I basically wrapped the actual errors that get returned in separate primitives so that we can distinguish, you know, the errors might look different on Windows. And then we can have a compiler flag here. It would still surface the same error type for the user. That's the idea.
I'm looking at the wrong PR. There it is. I was looking at 1119, which is also one of yours, but not the PR in question.
Yeah, that's probably still broken.
So I wouldn't use the Unixy names.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is is that other languages don't anymore. And that's okay. The real reason. So when you say exist, sure, you know, old people like me know exactly what you're talking about, but that tends not to be the way that it's done.
Just use something verbose like file exists.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah, fine.
Exactly, but that's super trivial.
Sure.
So in the first one, line 167.
Mm-hmm.
That's a point at which you should check Erno. And
that's what I just fixed.
Oh, okay.
No, my tests are broken. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right, and there you're calling fer, and then you're picking up getError, and getError is parsing out.
Yeah.
The OS error now. Mm-hmm. Should get error perhaps be private?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Or is that something that we're going to want to do? Actually, maybe it shouldn't be private. Maybe you're quite right to not make it private. I know, because it should be private because you're setting the Pony Erno inside the file object independently and holding on to that. That's wise because operating system Erno is so
exactly. Yeah.
So it should totally be, yeah. So I think that probably should be private.
Okay.
But everything else looks great.
Okay. Just want to make sure I'm on the right track because there are a couple of other wrinkles that I'm going to...
Okay. And it's tricksy stuff.
This is tricksy.
Tricksy indeed.
So I realized today that... because I was writing a test for to force it to give me like an E-axis error. But of course, that's really not easy because once you have the file open, you have a file handle. That's the way it is. So you can't just force that. But I'll think about it again tomorrow morning. Maybe I can.
So E-axis. That particular one, yeah, maybe drop me some email about that. It's hard to provoke that.
Yeah, another test that I want to add, because that's the whole reason why I added more error handling here, is end of file. So I'll get to that tomorrow.
And that one, it actually is super useful and pretty easy to
provoke. Yeah, that should be easy. Yeah. Okay.
All right, we good on that?
Yes.
I just sent you an invite to the thing, by the way, Sylvan.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Next up is 1209. This is Benoit's relax the ordering for some atomic operations. He says it needs careful review.
Excellent.
Oh my God, every single time I have to hit the little X.
Is it every time?
Well, I actually had already opened other tabs, so maybe that's my fault.
No, yeah, it didn't make me hit the X that time, so that's something. Oh, okay. I didn't even read this stuff, so I don't even know what the change was that they did.
Well, they have code review stuff now so that you can approve things and request.
I like that in general.
Mm-hmm.
This needs... Oh, he's really right. Are you on the call, Benoit?
He is.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. That does indeed need careful review. Brilliant. So, instead of doing it on the call, I'm going to go through each one of these carefully because you've written a fantastic summary here. And I suspect I'll come back and saying, yes, that all sounds right to me, but I'll go through it carefully.
Okay.
All right. So on to next one then.
Yes, please.
That's 1210, which is the add LLVM to CI builds. Benoit opened it. I don't know exactly what's going on with it, except that it all fails. I'm assuming there's something we have to do, but I don't quite know what.
Well, that's interesting.
It's an angry little beastie. The only parts that fail are the 3.9 version.
How odd. Show me some details, Travis. Yeah, everything builds except right at the end. And in fact, 3.9 passes on Linux.
So it looks like, I guess, there's no 3.9 for OS X, is that what it is? Yeah,
it's that it's looking specifically for a Clang 3.9 compiler. And I would guess that that won't be installed.
Well, it depends on how it's installed. I mean, I have like Clang 3.8.
You do?
Yeah, it look. It should have an LLVM config -3.9 unless they change.
It should absolutely have an LLVM config. Well, how interesting. I have a. Oh, I do. There it is. Clang 3.6, Clang 3.7, Clang 3.8.
Yeah. So it looks like the install of it didn't actually install. That's what it looks like to me.
It does look that way. But here we are looking at the changes, and there's our LVM 3.9 homebrew. So let's find our where in the output is it brewing?
I don't see. If OS X, brew install is only installing 3.6, 3.7, and 3.8. It doesn't install 3.9.
That will be the issue. Fantastic. Nicely caught.
Yep.
So, let me see here. We can make a little change. Because then...
Oh, look, it does the little emoji things now in here. Did it always do that with the little... Brew beer emoji.
What? Prints out a little Unicode beer. Yes.
Yeah. Is it always done that?
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Well, you know.
I like my cute in mascots, not in my log files.
You're very particular about your cute, and that's okay.
It's all right.
I am. Trying to figure out where in our Travis we are brewing, because there it is, line 167.
So 167 needs to, so basically if Theo, either if Benoit updates, yeah, line 167, then we should to have LLVM 3.9 there, we should probably be good.
Yeah, in his version, it's line 206.
Okay. Can you drop a note for that? So in case you didn't write it down just now, and then we should probably be good on that.
Excellent.
Did AppFair pass? I don't know. I think he had a note about, yeah, no, AppFair didn't pass. There's something about Fuzz can be merged. PonyC Windows LLVM will have to be updated with, I have no idea what, PonyC Windows LLVM. Oh my God, there's a project for this? Wow. And Dippin did something with it.
Dippin made that, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. How do we... it involves Windows. We need somebody to do a Windows thing, don't we?
Well, I don't know. I'm being bought at some point a Surface Book, so I'll be able to.
Oh, that's right. You work there now. Like, this should become your job.
Shush. No. No.
Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
I can neither confirm nor deny. Okay, so it is indeed Dippin's. Building LLVM building package.
I dropped a little note there and asked if he had time for that right now.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Teamwork.
Nice.
All right, so on to the next thing.
Yes, please.
Okay, and hopefully next time we'll come back around and we'll have a 3.9 thing there. So the first one is issue 1088, right?
Okay.
This one's just been kind of hanging out here, right? I'm not sure, like, I mean, this is in a lot of ways, this is about, you know, usability concerns with string, which I think everybody has, right?
Yes.
And do we want to leave this as an issue? Do we want to try to get some kind of RFC from this? What do we want to do?
I would love to see this move towards an RFC on what a excellent string API would look like.
Right. Yeah. Okay, better approach. Please do. We all agree the current API is lacking and painful to work with sometimes.
Yes.
And agree that the RFC process is the right way to address this. Comment and close, and I will not lock it right now. I'll wait and see if this results in anything.
Yeah, I think that's good. I would love to see if 1088 is marked as closed.
I just closed it and said please blah 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 the thing.
Maybe we can particularly call out if make FIFO can be involved and maybe Paralandric too, because they've made comments on it, and so I would love to have them continue to be involved.
Drop a note.
Will do.
Drop a note. Homebrew guy got back to me. He said, I can create a PR. Of course, I don't actually know what I'm supposed to PR for Homebrew. I mean, I know the formula, but I don't know what things are supposed to change. So I pinged him on that. Okay, so next is 1133. This is one that, let's see, we got some info from him, and we never really followed up on this, right, fully. So I wanted to pop this back up for discussion.
I'm sorry, I was typing. Can you say that again?
1133.
Thank you.
So he tried the whole old Homebrew release, and he was also on the current master branch and had this problem on OS X, apparently, since the last time we're on this. So is there an actual problem here, or is this just a lack of understanding on some sometimes? Oh, well, okay, so this is the
what confuses me is that it's OS X. And OS X theoretically, as I understand it, locks a file pointer on every operation. Now, it's unclear from my reading of the FreeBSD and OS X descriptions whether they're treating a character operation as an operation or a complete operation. Now, GCC, glibc definitely treats the whole operation as the atomic operation, not per character, which makes sense because per character would be incredibly expensive to lock it and unlock it, and what would be the point of that? Now, we're using the unlocked calls on Linux, but he's having the problem on OS X. And I replicated it. It totally happens. Now, at the same time, fact and assert are not intended to be proper program output.
Right. And so here's what I...
Wait a minute. Sorry. Now I understand why it's happening on OS X. He's printing two things to standard out asynchronously while writing to standard air synchronously.
Okay, but why does...
So that's expected behavior.
Why does the foo lose its new line, though?
Why does it get stepped on entirely?
Yeah. I guess that's just a shell thing.
A shell thing to me, but I wouldn't swear to that.
All right. You want to put a comment and then close it?
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, it's good. See, it's good. We bring it back up. Have a look at it again because it was undone. Okay. For everybody else, it'll be 11:93. That's one from Theo. And I'll repeat it again for Sylvan once he's done writing his comment and closing that.
Actually, I'm going to leave this open and ask him to PR adding the flush in where we use synchronous prints. Why not? Synchronous prints are not intended for a high-performance program.
Okay, so... should that be a different... Yeah, okay. And then if he doesn't get back on that, then we can close this one and open an issue to do that.
Yeah.
All right. The name isn't familiar to me, and this is from 20 days ago, so they could have been playing around with Pony and I mean, looking at the program, and then that seems reasonable that they would, and then have maybe moved on. You know, some folks do.
Yeah.
We get a lot of interesting reports of things I'd never play with from that.
Yes.
Type faster.
Okay.
You get paid by the word, man. Oh, look, there's 1,821 stars now.
Fun.
Did you know that's more stars that exist in our universe? We're now more popular than the universe.
That's
science.
/ also a lie?
It's not a lie. I just said it was so, therefore it's so. Okay, so 1193, Sylvan. You and Theo had some level of conversation on it, and Theo dropped in 5 days ago. He dropped in a gist.
Just as I've been completely out of touch with anything. I'm sorry about that, Theo.
That's no problem. That's why we have these.
It is indeed. yeah, let me leave this open in my browser and run it and get back to you on the issue. Because I'll have to actually debug it because something is wrong. It should, well, or I'm just wrong, right? That's also a distinct possibility. The thing that could be wrong might be me. The compiler could be right. But it seems like to me that it should be accepting that code.
Yeah, the gist is just of the entire output that I got. So I'll also put up something that fails to compile, I guess.
Oh yeah, that would be perfect. Just anything small that I can run through the debugger and step through and figure out when it's generating an anybind and how to make it stop or why I'm wrong. One of the two. Yeah, actually, your initial chop of the output was like a perfect chop. So the extended stuff, yeah, it's useful, but your initial chop was perfect. It told me everything I needed to know.
All right, next one. Then.
All right.
Is that, was that the meaning of all of that?
Yes, please.
Okay. 1208. If there's anybody on here who knows more about RPMs and Linux, and then that would be handy dandy for anybody who can take a look at this and know. I've always lived off in Debian land and whatnot. I don't know a ton about RPM. And if there's a simple way to deal with this, or if we're supposed to be doing something like install a different version of mcurses on RPM on Red Hat CentOS. Fedora 24.
Okay, so that's new, but it's not like yesterday new. What I'm confused about... Oh, well, funnily enough, when I type Fedora 24, the first thing Google suggests is, did you mean Fedora 24 libtinfo.so.5?
Really? And what does it say?
So it turns out that we are covered in questions of people going, why the hell is libtinfo 5 missing on Fedora 24? Why is Fedora 24 broken?
So this is Fedora 24 is broken?
Well, I'm going to look at
you
on the Haskell compiler.
Maybe you should just go ask Simon tomorrow.
I should probably do that, actually.
Simon, really important computer science question for you.
Yeah. Ncurses? What the hell? Oh, my.
That doesn't sound good.
It's bad. So they're saying on Arch Linux, if that's missing it, then you should symlink libtinfo to libncurses. Oh, boy. There's an ncurses 5 compat libs. Another person on Fedora 24 has symlinked 5 to 6.
You 6 to 5?
No, 5 to 6. So there is no 5, and they create a symlink that points, when you ask for 5, it hands you 6.
Okay, so we say the exact thing with the same meaning in the exact opposite direction from one another. I just learned for that.
Oh. I'm probably wrong. I always get the order of operations on ln-s wrong, so.
Okay, so
All right. There's an, it looks like probably the right solution is ncurses 5 compatlibs. But it's not clear to me. I think I'm going to reference both of these.
Reference it in the URL, and we can pick it up and see if we can get somebody to take a look at it. If I'll leave Dave's discussion on it, and then that means I'll pick it up next week again.
Okay. Let me link to...
And I'm going to label it as bug ready for work, actually enhancement ready for work, okay? And priority high and difficulty easy. All right?
Okay. And then I'm not exactly sure that we're going to change anything. It might be that there's an ncurses compatlibs and that's the thing to do. I'm not totally sure for these bugs. Okay, so it's Arch Gentoo and Fedora 24 that have upgraded to ncurses 6.
Okay, alrighty. Cool, and I send an email to the dev list saying, hey, does somebody want to handle this?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
So I had one other thing that I put on the agenda, but it's 4:10, so let's see if anybody else has stuff. Otherwise, I'd like to talk about the sugar for method chaining RFC, which is...
Ooh, fun.
Which we keep referencing as something that we really want, and we made a change based on having that. But you know, it's been open
yet habit.
It's been open for months. So, and the conversation slowed down a lot until I pushed it a little. So, does anybody have anything that they would like to bring up or go over?
I have something.
Excellent.
So it's about the NPM CQ.
In the okay.
So in the pop operation, we are protecting the queue with an ABA. Marker,
yeah,
which is used to prevent, like, if one thread removes an item from the queue and then puts another item in the queue that uses the same storage as the removed items, bad things can happen.
Yes,
and so this is doing a double word compare and swap because the ABA tag is a full machine word.
Yeah.
And I was thinking since all the things put in the queue come from the pool allocator, and we know that these things are aligned in memory, maybe we could use the low bits of the pointers for the ABA tag instead of another memory word.
Okay. So some things come to mind. On a 32-bit machine, I think we've got... a few low bits we can play with. On a 64-bit machine, we also have 16 high bits we can play with because memory allocation only falls into the low 48 bits. So that's interesting too, is to put the ABA in there. The other thing is, I'm not sure what the performance difference is for a double word compare and swap versus a single word compare and swap plus the bit twiddling that we'd have to do on the addresses when pushing and popping from the queue, if that makes any sense.
Yes. I implemented my my proposition to test it, but I didn't benchmark anything.
Okay.
But I think it may be beneficial to do it because first, double word atomic compare and swap is not available on every platform. Sure. And for example in on x86 it's using the compare exchange 16 bytes instruction and we're doing it it uses this instruction not only for compare and swap operations, but also for every other operation, so loads, stores. So since we're doing an atomic load at the beginning of the pop, this is adding another double word atomic compare and swap. Whereas a single word load on x86 is just a plain MOV instruction,
right?
So I think we may gain on performance on that.
Okay, well let's go for it and see if we can come up with a way to benchmark it usefully. I'm trying to think of a. If there's an existing benchmark that stresses the scheduler enough, it's quite possible. Well, no, because it's going to have to be. It's the pop. It's possible that the mailbox benchmark might get you enough stress that you would see a difference. And if that works, I'm thinking about in the pool allocator, there's two uses of double word compare and swap.
Yes, I was thinking that also.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll test it.
Okay, fantastic. That sounds quite good. Yeah, because we're not actually worried about large scale ABA. This isn't the kind of ABA problem where we want 64 bits of ABA. We just need a few bits because we're not doing anything all that insane. Yeah, I think this is a good idea. This might be a definite win. Okay.
Anyone else have anything? Going once, going twice. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that RFC for a minute. So I think there's a couple things going on in there which could potentially make this easier. So part of this was when this started, this was basically some sugar just for, so you don't have to return this, right?
Yes.
Which Malfi seems to be trying to drive it back towards, which I think is a reasonable thing to do so that we could get that in. And then all of the rest of the stuff with pipeline operators and everything else, that really does feel like a separate RFC, right? Like
okay.
We don't need both of them. Right, I mean, we can do that. We could do the sugar for just being able to not return this, without without any of the pipelining stuff. I don't think one precludes the other, right? And I'm not even sure like the pipeline stuff it could impact on it, but I think from most of the stuff where we seem to get bogged down seems to be the pipelining stuff more than anything else, right?
Interesting.
For like, although, but I mean, I'm open to other thoughts on that. I mean, I'd like to see both, right?
Right.
But I personally would be okay with, we can do something for the sugar chaining and the this, right? Which very well might only last a few months before it gets replaced when we have something for the pipelining and chaining as stuff and we enhance it.
Yeah. Okay.
But we could still certainly, if we have this other sugar for it so that we don't have to return this anymore, that means we can start updating the APIs for things to not use the return of this anymore, which will, and that stuff, which will carry on afterwards, even when we add pipelining and everything else. So it's not like the only thing that might change is the sugar for how we do it afterwards.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Thoughts?
Sylvan or Gordon or Andy or Marcus or Benoit or Theo?
I was just double checking. And I was wrong about a thing. Oh, no, I wasn't. Oh, damn it.
You were wrong about being wrong, so you were still wrong about a thing.
Yes. So I thought that maybe I had misled Joe and told him that when F-sharp did pipelining, it passed the argument as the first, but I did. I told him that it was the last, and he told me that it's Elixir that passes it as the first. And, of course, the reason it's the last in F-sharp is because, of course, we're currying the function on the other side of the pipe.
Yeah, which I'm not sure is as useful in the pony case. But that's
the same thing as partial application.
Exactly. Currying.
Yeah, exactly. Now in Pony, you wouldn't actually lift to partial application, but you don't actually when you compile a language like Haskell or F-sharp either.
Are we arguing or discussing like picking one of these things? It seems like all of them could be useful.
I think the issue is we haven't settled on a syntax.
Yeah,
and I think the first argument, last argument issue is something to discuss.
I mean, I guess I feel like people have brought up a few different things that it would be nice to have that all kind of fall into this chaining question. Yeah. The first argument, last argument thing, and there's... I guess the using idea that comes up there at the end is kind of a third thing.
Where it says we're gonna select an initial receiver and maintain it.
Yeah. And I guess I see all three of those things as offering somewhat orthogonal solutions to problems that come up. And it would in my mind they'd all be great to have. So I guess I don't want to see this as being a, you know, which one of these solves as many problems as possible. It'd be nice to kind of get them all if we could. But maybe that's multiple RFCs rather than trying to cram them all into one RFC.
Yeah, I think that's what Sean is saying. So,
okay, sorry. Yeah.
No, it's worth being explicit. That's good. I think maybe... I think maybe we should look at the original Smalltalk method cascading.
Ooh, back to the original texts.
Indeed. So, now, Dart uses double dot. But it's problematic for many, many reasons. I don't care for it just in terms of aesthetics, which is really not all that interesting, but also it's problematic for parsing. What I'm trying to remember is what the original Smalltalk cascade is. Does anyone remember?
I'm sorry, what? I was typing in a little box.
The original Smalltalk syntax for cascading?
I implemented that a few years ago. I'm drawing a blank.
Because I seem to recall that the original Smalltalk syntax for cascading was they couldn't parse it with an LALR1 grammar. But I can't remember.
Semicolon?
Wikipedia says semicolon.
Oh, yeah. Semicolon. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So, I think my problem with using is that it looks nice in that example, but it doesn't compose very well. I think it's a good. I think it's nice lateral thinking by Malta, but I think it's not where I'd want to go. All right. I hate to do this, considering that the whole point of Sean raising this was to stop punting it down the road. But I'd really like to play with the antler grammar and figure out what is LL1 that we could use that was friendly.
So Lynn is going to be looking. Really, you're using an antler grammar?
So the Pony compiler will generate an antler 3 grammar if you ask it to, and then you can use antler 3 to verify that your grammar is LL1.
Thanks for the PTSD.
Yeah.
Deep breath, Sean. Deep breath.
Don't use Antler to generate actual parsers, using it to check grammars.
Let me say a thing to you. All right.
Yes.
Okay. I was involved in a project which involved creating a Smalltalk. Right.
Yes.
We used Antler. Antler is not friendly to Smalltalk grammar.
That's one way to put it. Yes.
It's PTSD.
Homicidal? Yes.
Painful.
It's one of those moments in my life when I look back at it and go, why didn't we stop using Antwerp? Why did we keep beating our heads against the wall? It was yes. Not nice. Anyway, okay. So Sylvan is going to be looking at our grammar in order to find something nice and parsable and report back with ideas on what we can do specifically for chaining. All right. We can add various pipeline operators that have been discussed here in response to other RFCs. We all agree that we would like basically everything that has come up in this RFC to be in Pony, but that having them all together in this one RFC is making it hard to move forward, and that each can be added independently. Okay. All right. Nice long comment for me.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. And then if this hasn't moved forward by the time I get back from my vacation in 3 weeks, well, I was going to say if this hasn't moved forward in 2 weeks, but then I realized the sync in 2 weeks, I won't be here. Probably, okay. Or something like that. Right. So yeah, I'll bring it up again if it hasn't moved, because I would really like to get all of those. This is out of the API, because we could do a lot more interesting things with the APIs if that's gone.
Totally agree.
Alrighty.
And it has a beautiful side effect of meaning that behaviors will now return none, which is what most people expect them to do when they see them.
What do they do right now?
They return the receiver.
Wait, behaviors return receiver?
Yeah, because at the call site, the only thing that you could get out of it would be the receiver, so that's what they return.
I never tried to get a return type from behavior, so I'd never thought about it. I'm not...
Yes.
But why would you...
Because you can chain behaviors.
Okay, then.
But if it returns none, then everyone will be happy, including you.
I'm not sure I've ever needed to chain behaviors. Right. I don't know if this has ever come up for me. This is basically, it's sort of like, if you know the mind blown GIF?
Yes.
Like that, but really, really, really tiny.
wait a second. I think this is exactly what you said when somebody made that comment in the thread. Well, not. I feel like there's a comment from you a couple of months ago being shocked that you could change behaviors.
And apparently it was so meaningful to me that I completely forgot about it. Everybody's got their tools that they use, and then parts of it where they're just like, really? What? Okay.
Sorry. I'm not one to talk. It's okay.
All right. Anything else?
I just want to quickly mention to Sylvan that I posted some code from 1193.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
Okie dokie. Alrighty then. Okay, so thanks, everyone. And I'm gonna we'll end this now, and I will post the audio.